Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Pfeiffer. I'm very happy that we can sit together in meditation, and we're going to sit together for 10 minutes. We're going to start soon. So please take your seat, get settled, whether you're on a cushion on the floor, with your legs crossed loosely in front of you, or in a chair. And if you do sit in a chair, which is completely spiritual too, please sit with your feet flat on the floor. And as you get settled, I want to continue our conversation from last week. However, you do not have to have listened to last week to jump in right now. Each video stands alone. But last week I mentioned that I was going to begin discussing the six paramitas, or six perfections, six transcendent actions. Last week we started with the first, which is called generosity. Today we're going to discuss briefly, then we'll get right to our meditation, which is called discipline. The second paramita is discipline, everyone's favorite. Para means crossing over, and mita means something like arrived. I'm crossing over and I got there. The paramitas are the six actions that we can take that help us transcend the conventional and reach the extraordinary. They help us cross over the boundaries of conventional, self-centered, I hesitate to use the word egotistical because people think that means, oh, I should never think of myself. That's not what I mean here. What I mean is the paramitas help us stop seeing ourselves as the very center of the entire universe, which isn't to say that we shouldn't think that we're important, because we are, you are. And it's tempting to think that means we should put ourselves last. The paramitas are not saying you don't matter. The paramitas in no way are saying you should disregard yourself and abandon yourself to only take care of others. Ixnay. The paramitas are saying begin by extending these things to yourself so that you can offer them to others, and in so doing, you will cross to the other shore of sanity and decency and the world we all want to live in, the world where goodness is prized above everything. Decency is prized above commerce. Sanity is prized above success, and so on. So, the paramitas have this quality of expanding and focusing. So the first one, generosity, obviously has this sense of beneficence and expansion and warmth and inclusiveness. Great. And then the second paramita says, hold up, you got to also have some discipline. You got to tighten that thing up, because if you're just only giving, that's not smart. That's not sensible. You have to also be disciplined. And the discipline, what is the discipline that helps you cross over to the other shore of goodness and sanity and decency? What is the discipline of mind? So I want to tell you, spoiler alert, you already know how to do it. If we've ever meditated together before, or if you've ever meditated before. And if this is your first time, soon you will know exactly what is meant by discipline. Excuse me, when we sit together. So when we sit together, the instruction is take your posture, place your attention on the breath, breathing. You let your mind be as it is. You don't try to stop thinking, because that would be crazy. But at some point you notice, oh, I'm not meditating. I'm thinking about lunch, or I wonder if I have lupus, or why did I say that thing 16 years ago? Rewind. That's called thinking. I'm going to let go and come back to the object of attention, which is the breath. That's it. I'm coming back. That's all that discipline is the willingness and capacity to come back. So if you think discipline means you better do this a better job next time, young lady or young man or young both, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking actually about this very simple gesture of coming back to what is important to you. And the paramita of discipline further posits three qualities, three sort of aspects, three ways we can hold our mind, or three ways we can train our mind to be disciplined about crossing over to decency and sanity and goodness and so on. So the first quality, the first aspect of the paramita of discipline is called binding yourself, which doesn't mean tying yourself up. It means you have ethics. You have some sense of this is right and this is wrong. I'm going to do these things. I'm not going to do those things. And you bind yourself to your code of ethics. And you don't fool around with that. We all have to, you know, be like, oh, well, I might get fired if I tell the truth. Okay, so we get into sticky situations that aren't quite black and white. Nonetheless, if you bind yourself, if you commit to your code of ethics, whatever it might be, you are training yourself in the discipline of mind to know what is right in everyday circumstances so that when you are in extraordinary circumstances, your mind is strong and you will retain the discipline of knowing what is right from what is wrong. Can't think of anything more important in this day and age than that. The second aspect of the paramita of discipline is called gathering virtuous dharmas, which means you sort of don't rest on your laurels in terms of understanding your path, the truth, the nature of wisdom. You keep studying, you keep practicing, you keep working to deepen your realization of yourself, your understanding of others, your understanding of this life, of what it all means. Gathering virtuous dharmas is a discipline of mind that says, I'm not going to stop with, okay, I get it. I've decided that I've worked hard enough in understanding whatever my life and who you are and what relationships should look like, and I'm stopping. If it worked that way, that'd be great. But life keeps moving and we keep moving. So gathering virtuous dharmas, in one sense, is having the discipline to continually ride the waves of experience and seeking to understand what is happening now, as opposed to my version of what should be happening or my expectation from yesterday about what I thought would be happening. That's a big one. And the third and final aspect of discipline is called benefiting others, which may sound kind of obvious, but here's how we can practice this one. And this is a real discipline. When we walk into any situation, okay, I'll talk about myself. When I walk into any situation, including making this video, which, you know, I hope it will be a benefit. Nonetheless, somewhere in the back of my mind or the front of my mind sometimes is, I wonder if I'm doing a good job. Or I hope people think I'm smart. Or if I'm helping others, it will be really, really great and I'll feel so happy, which is true. But what's missing from this thought process that I may be involved in every minute of my life? You. You're missing. And I'm thinking mostly of myself. So the discipline of benefiting others begins with, and actually also kind of ends with, simply thinking of others. When you enter into every situation of your life, including just when you're contemplating your relationships, but also when you sit down at your desk to do your work and you're about to answer email, or you are going to have a meeting with your colleagues to discuss a project, or you raise your hand to ask a question in class, or you're sitting at your dinner table with your children or your partner. Speaking for myself, I'm usually thinking, what will be good for Susie in this situation? And, you know, okay, we're human. There's nothing wrong with that. But if I can also begin to weave in, and what will be good for the others here, not just what will be good for me, what will benefit others in this moment, and this moment, and this moment, gradually we build this huge disciplined reservoir of merit in our mind that each time we think what will benefit others, we're putting down a little stepping stone in this ocean between this shore of nuttiness and that shore of sanity and goodness. And each time we think of benefiting others, we step onto the next stone until we have gone beyond to the other shore. Don't take my word for it. Practice these things for yourself and see. And please tune in next week when we will talk about the third paramita, which is called patience. Let's practice. Begin your practice, please, by taking a good seat, which simply means, first of all, notice that you are in a body and it's sitting down, and it's you. So you're not like posing as a meditator. This is not a meditation posture in the sense of posturing. You're a person. And you're in a body and you're sitting. That's a good way to start. Here I am. The hands rest on the legs, palms down. And let the hands really rest. They don't have to do anything right now. Feel the sit bones pressing down into the cushion or chair. And let your bottom half become heavy. Sit up straight and feel the buoyancy and lightness of your top half. Like there's a sense of upward rising in the torso. Relax the front body. The belly, the area around the heart, the throat, and let the shoulders relax. If you have any sense, as I do throughout the day, of pulling forward, got to get somewhere, let that go. And let there really be a sense of resting back right here. Not trying to get anywhere. The chin is tucked a little bit, so the back of the neck is long. The mouth is closed, but the lips and teeth can be slightly parted. Breath is natural in and out through the nose, meaning there is no breathing technique. You're just breathing. You're already doing it, so just keep doing it. And in our practice, the eyes remain open. And the gaze is cast down to a spot in front, up to 6 feet or less, depending on where your screen is. So let your gaze rest on a particular spot without a sense of grabbing it, just resting. Let the eyes become soft. And the crown of the head reaches up a little bit. The sit bones continue to root down. So we're rooting down, aspiring up with a strong back, a soft front, and somehow within our own bodies, we can conjure all of these different senses of being. Now let your attention rest on the breath. Which means feel the breath. rather than observe the breath. Feel the inhale and the exhale. Let the mind rest on the breath. Coming in and flowing out. The mind doesn't have to do anything. It can just rest on the waves of breath. Your mind, of course, will keep thinking thoughts, no problem. Most of them will come and go on their own. You don't need to do anything at all. Only when you noticed, should you notice, that you're absorbed in thought, like so completely that you've forgotten about your breath, only at that point do you want to intercede. First, notice it. I'm thinking. You can label it thinking if you like, just to mark that moment. Then let go. Doesn't matter what the content of the thought is, just let go. Gently come back to the feeling of the breath and take a fresh start. And that is all there is to it. So we'll sit together. thank you so much for your practice. Thank you for practicing with me. And thank you for practicing together.